Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42 and 11, 1 through 6. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading for scripture. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I want to add one short scripture reading to the one that we just heard. Actually, it's just a few verses, about three verses, at the end of the 11th chapter of Matthew. Kathy just read the first few verses, but that chapter ends with Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. So our time together today is going to be part history lesson and part sermon. And the first thing I want us to do is look at the screen. And let me just say that I know some people, especially during the summer, when people are in and out of town, some people are listening to our sermons on our website. So if you're listening to this on our website, you can go to the National Park Service's website on the Statue of Liberty, and you'll be able to see a lot of the images that we're looking at today on our screen. One of my favorite places in Washington, D.C. was just a few blocks from our home when Peg and I lived there. And we used to go there quite often and spend some time. It was near the Botanic Gardens. And it is called, does anybody know what this is called? This is called Bartoli Square. Now, I'm also going to give a disclaimer right now, because one of the reasons I ended up in the theater in college is because I couldn't pass French. And every one of the names I have to read today are French. Auguste Bartoli designed this beautiful fountain. And it's magnificent. You can see here, it's very tall, and there are three ladies holding up as the base of the fountain. It's a magnificent fountain. Auguste Bartoli was a Frenchman. And back in the 1800s, when he was living, he took a trip to Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, he saw the magnificent statuary of ancient Egypt. the Sphinx being probably the most famous of these. And he came away from that trip inspired to create large statuary. And this is one of the fountains that he designed. But he also was the designer of, yes, the Statue of Liberty, which is should be our next visual. Kathy's taking cues from me. Bartoli designed the Statue of Liberty, and he was inspired by this trip to Egypt. As a matter of fact, the first version of the Statue of Liberty, he wanted to give to the country of Egypt. They wanted to build a magnificent lighthouse at the entrance to the Suez Canal. And Bartoli created a model for them, which was basically the Statue of Liberty that we have, except it was an Egyptian woman with a veiled face. So the original model for our Statue of Liberty was a Muslim woman. But Egypt decided that they didn't want it. But Bartoli was determined that he wanted this statue somewhere. And that's when he met Edouard Laboulaye. Edouard Laboulaye was a thinker in France during the 1800s. He was an abolitionist. He was against slavery throughout the world. He was a friend of, I don't know, a personal friend, but an ideological friend of Abraham Lincoln. This was during the American Civil Rights Civil War. And Laboulaye was doing everything he could to eliminate slavery anywhere in the world. And Bartoli met Laboulaye. And they decided that they would make this statue of freedom and liberty as a gift to the United States at the end of the Civil War. And so they made that proposal. And Bartoli made the adaptations to his design. I want to go to the next slide and show you one of those adaptations. How many of you are familiar with the base of the Statue of Liberty? We are very familiar with the torch, but not many people are familiar with the base and the feet. I want you to notice what's coming out from under the robe. Chains with a broken shackle. And this was the addition that Laboulaye inspired to this statue. Now, other people involved in the building and the design of the Statue of Liberty, it had to have a structure. And so the first architect was a famous French architect named Eugène Viollet-le-Duc. And he was designing the framework, the internal framework of the Statue of Liberty, but he suddenly died very near the beginning of the project. And so Bartoli had to find somebody to take his place to design this internal framework. And can anybody guess who that architect was? Eiffel. It was Alexander Gustav Eiffel of the Eiffel Tower. So within the Statue of Liberty, we have sort of a little rough Eiffel Tower. Another inspiration for Bartoli's statue was a very ancient statue that actually there are no photographs of because it was destroyed long before photography, and there are really no drawings of it. There are just some artistic renderings of it. And this was the Colossus of Rhodes. You can see the figure on the right-hand side of the picture, my right. It looks sort of like the Statue of Liberty with the crowned head and the raised arms. But the more mythical visual image of Colossus of Rhodes is the giant statue straddling the entry to the harbor of Rhodes. This was an actual statue, and it was destroyed when Rhodes was sacked. Actually, the ruins laid around for hundreds of years, and they were eventually melted and sold as molten bronze. But the Colossus of Rhodes was one of the inspirations for the Statue of Liberty. Now, the Statue of Liberty, like a lot of big projects like this, it ran into financing problems. And so another famous person stepped in to help with the financing, and that was none other than Joseph Pulitzer. Pulitzer helped raise the funds to finish the Statue of Liberty. Now, France pretty much paid for the statue. The United States had to pay for the base. And part of that fundraising effort was a Portuguese Jewish poet by the name of Emma Lazarus. And Emma Lazarus wrote a sonnet that was part of the fundraising effort to finish the Statue of Liberty. And within that sonnet of Emma Lazarus, which was, by the way, entitled The New Colossus, was the poem, the sonnet. Within that sonnet are those famous words that perhaps you saw on our marquee as you came in this morning. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. There's your brief history of the Statue of Liberty. And now let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, to our readings. I hope the connection is obvious. Jesus has just sent his disciples out to serve in the communities. And his final instruction to him is to welcome the stranger. Welcome those people that you're going out to meet, and they will welcome you. And when they welcome you and you welcome them, you are welcoming me. So in the process of welcoming the stranger, we are encountering the Christ. We are encountering this love, this kingdom that Jesus teaches us about. There are many other parables about welcoming the stranger, being a good neighbor. And Jesus tells his disciples, when you go out, and he sends his disciples out to heal, to clothe, to give housing, to give good news to the poor. And when we are doing these things and welcoming the stranger, we are encountering Christ, and they are encountering Christ in us. And the second part of our Matthew reading has the disciples of John the Baptist coming up to Jesus. John is in prison, but so he sends his disciples out to Jesus because he's heard the stories about all of his teaching and all that's going on around him. And he sends his disciples with one question. Are you the one, or should we wait for someone else? Because this is what John the Baptist has been preaching. He's been preaching this historical message of the Jewish people that there will be a Messiah. And he says, are you the one? And Jesus doesn't say, yes, I'm the one. Go back and tell him everything's okay. I'm here. We're all okay now. Jesus tells the disciples, you go tell John what you hear. And you go tell John what you see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. My friends, today's history lesson and sermon on this Sunday before the Day of Independence is celebrated is not a flag-waving, manifest a destiny celebration of America as a Christian nation. Our celebration today is from the gospel. A gospel that is also deeply rooted in our national tradition. And it is a call for us to remember who we are. What do we see and what do we hear? And those are the signs that Christ is among us. So today's sermon, in many, many ways, is a very, very, very patriotic sermon because it calls us to the essential foundation of who we are, the foundation of that Statue of Liberty with broken shackles, reminding us that we are a nation of open arms. Welcoming. And when we do so, we welcome Jesus Himself. Amen. Liberty, freedom, and justice. The three mythological characters in our American tradition for liberty, freedom, and justice are all women. The Statue of Liberty in the harbor of New York City. Freedom atop the United States Capitol. And justice outside numerous courthouses throughout the country and the world. And a Portuguese Jewish poet woman gives us these words. inscribed on the interior of the Statue of Liberty on a bronze plaque back in the 1800s. The New Colossus. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of teeming shores, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Remember who we are. Amen.